as Vamana Deva in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in the covering, its covering, with the nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River. Having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder, the water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges, yet its water remains ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord, before descending within this universe, she is known as Vishnu Padi. Later, she received other names like Janavi and Bhagirathi. After 1,000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka to be Vishnu Pada, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes the glories of the Ganges River. The water of the Ganges is called Patita Pavani, the deliverer of all sinful beings. It is a proven fact that a person who regularly bathes in the Ganges is purified both externally and internally. Externally, his body becomes immune to all kinds of disease, and internally, he gradually develops a devotional attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Throughout India, many thousands of people live on the banks of the Ganges, and by regularly bathing in her waters, they are undoubtedly being purified both spiritually and materially. Many sages, including Shankaracharya, have composed prayers in praise of the Ganges, and the land of India itself has become glorious because such rivers as the Ganges, Yamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, Krishna, and Narmada flow there. Anyone living on the land adjacent to these rivers is naturally advanced in spiritual consciousness. Srila Madhvacharya says, Vurahi vama padam tu haranyeshu tu dakshinam padam kalpeshu bhagavan ujahara trivikramaha. Standing on his right foot and extending his left to the edge of the universe, Lord Vamana became known as Trivikrama, the incarnation who performed three heroic deeds. So, Om Maganatim Vrandasya Gadam Jana Shrapaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. So, here the glories of the Ganges is being described. And in India, they actually have a 10-day celebration of, it's called Dashahar. It's similar to the victory ceremony of Lord Ram. But anyway, it's a 10-day celebration of the Ganges that comes right before the Pandava Nirjala Kadasi. 10 days they celebrate the Ganges. And so this interesting story about the Ganges water is that before the Ganges came down to the material world, it's called the Viraj. Viraj, of course, means the causal ocean. That's another name of the causal ocean. So what happened is that this name Viraj is the name of a gopi in Vrindavan. And this gopi actually got Radharani very angry. Radharani got very angry because this gopi was associating with Krishna. So we see one of the aspects of Radharani's mood and relationship to Krishna is called man. Man means like the anger. Even there's a mandir called Man Mandir, which is in part of Barshana. I don't know if any of you have been there. It's called Man Mandir. So it's the Mandir of anger. And there's also Manasarovara, where Krishna goes and he touches the feet of Srimati Radharani, begging for forgiveness. He goes and he says, please forgive me. And he starts crying. So This is actually the original form in the spiritual world, and the perverted reflection of this is when a husband becomes henpecked. You know henpecked? You know what that means? Henpecked. Henpecked means controlled by the wife. So anyway, we won't speak about that. So in any case, Radharani was very angry at this Gopi Viraj, and she cursed Viraj to go down to the material world. And so Viraj became the Viraj River, or the causal ocean. And then this Viraj River divides the material world from the spiritual realm. And then when you cross the Viraj, you go to the spiritual world. So that story is in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, if anyone wants to look at that whole story about Radharani cursing that particular gopi. So it says that one can become purified by the Ganges, even by just calling out the name of the Ganges or having darshan of the Ganges, touching her water, worshipping her and bathing, standing in her water, or even carrying clay from the river. It said that anyone who dies, if you take their ashes and sprinkle them with Ganges water, even the bones, that's part of the procedure when you put the person's ashes in the Ganges, is there's always a little bone left too. I don't know if you've ever seen this. There's always a bone that doesn't burn. And there's even a special mantra for that bone. And so even you sprinkle water on that bone or put the bone in the Ganges or whatever, then the person goes to the heaven. You know, gets free from all sins. Even if they died. Just like last night, there was some interreligious discussion. And one of the groups was saying that after you die, you know, that's it. Nobody can do anything for you. And there's also another thing. Oh, yeah, the Arya Samaj. I'm sorry. There's the Arya Samaj. There's, you know, the final samskara is the Antyeshti samskara. Antyeshti is the funeral. And they said, after that, you can't do anything for anyone. But actually, according to the Vedas, then you have your pinda. Everybody's heard of pinda before? So pinda is when you have the pittas, you know, pitris. Actually, pitris in Sanskrit, that's the proper word, not pittas. But pitri, just like you have pitri pak here, right? Then when you offer to the forefathers, and then you're actually giving them some benefit, even after they die. You can offer Ganges water, you can offer prasadam to them. There's this whole ceremony called shrad, or in Sanskrit it's called shraddha. You understand the difference, shrad, shraddha. Anyway, Sanskrit and Hindi, different definition. So the Ganges water put on someone's ashes or bones can liberate them, basically. Free them of all sins. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And even you can get benefit from the Ganges is to by bathing in places where she magically appears. Did you know that? It's interesting. Ganges magically appears in different places. Of course, one place is the Manasaganga, which is in Vrindavan, actually Braj, Govardhan, the center of Govardhan, where Krishna manifested the Ganges from his mind. It's interesting. And there's so many stories about this Manasaganga, how Krishna bathed there after killing the Vatsasura demon. Vatsasura is the calf demon. You understand? One funny story. We were just in Singatoka or Nandi or something like that, and Hrishikesh was translating for us into Hindi. And I said, calf demon, and he heard cat demon. It shows how improper hearing you can really make big mistakes. So he said, Krishna killed the cat demon. And even I understood the word cat in Hindi, and I said, it's not cat demon, you rascal. It's calf demon. So Krishna killed the calf demon, which is the Vatsasura, and the coward boys didn't want to associate with him until he bathed in the Ganges. So Krishna created the Ganges from his mind. And the Ganges personified, Gangadevi, she appeared from there. So she magically appears in different places. I mean, another place she magically appears in is what's called a Sveta Ganga. The Sveta means white in Sanskrit. So the Sveta Ganga is present in Puri, Jagannath Puri. And it became manifest when this Ganga Mata Goswamini was there. Anyone's heard of her? She was a lady who was a Goswamini. Pretty good. So you ladies can take heart from that. Become Goswaminis. So anyway, so she was in, she wanted to bathe in the Ganges, but she was in Jagannath Puri, and her guru told her, don't leave Jagannath Puri. So she was in a dilemma. So the Ganges manifested, the Sveta Ganges manifested from a well, actually, and flowed so violently that it carried her into the middle of the Jagannath temple. And so she was in the middle of the night. So in the middle of the night, she was there in the Jagannath temple. The next morning, the Pandas woke up and the guards woke up and they found her in the middle of the Jagannath temple. And they thought she was there to steal. And they put her in jail. And then the king of Puri had a dream that it was actually Lord Jagannath who had arranged all this. And the king was ordered to take initiation from Ganga Mata Goswamini. So the king of Puri took initiation from Ganga Mata Goswamini. So that's a story of the Sveta Ganga. And also the Ganges can be manifested by devotees by saying the proper mantras. You know, by touching the water, Gangaya Namaha, like that, and then the Ganges becomes manifested. Or even the name of the Ganges becomes manifested. So there's many different ways that the Ganges can give us spiritual benefit. And there's actually an interesting discussion in Vrindavan about why you shouldn't bathe the deities in Ganges water. It's interesting. I mean, we were discussing this, and the whole mood in Vrindavan is you use Yamuna water for bathing the deities, not the Ganges water. And, of course, nowadays you can't even get Yamuna water because the Yamuna is stopped upstream of Delhi, and what you see in the Yamuna riverbed is 100% Delhi sewerage and water runoff. But anyway, so the devotees in Vrindavan, generally they use Yamuna water to bathe the deities. They say you can't use Ganges water. Does anyone know why? Nobody knows why. It's interesting. They say because the Ganges has already been used to bathe the Lord. Do you follow that? The Ganges, when it comes down to the material world, is bathe the lotus feet of the Lord. So you don't offer prasadam to Krishna. It's not that you offer on the off altar, you put it in the refrigerator, and you give Krishna leftovers the next day. You can eat leftovers, but Krishna should not be eating leftovers. So therefore, that's why they don't use Ganges water in Vrindavan. Now, I think other devotees may use Ganges water to bathe the deities, but in general, that's the Brajavasi's mood, just to give you a little Brajavasi nectar there. So, anyway, and she also appears in Udupi, too. There's a place called the Madhva Sarovara in Udupi, where the Gangamayi appears. So, as far as her history, there's an interesting history. She's the daughter of the Himalayas, and also of Goddess Mena, who is the sister of Parvati. And Gangadevi sits on her carrier, which is a crocodile carrier. Her water is called the Patita Pavana. And so the history of how she came down to this world is quite interesting. Once upon a time, this involves a very long story, the ocean was dried up. And it was dried up by this sage named Agastya Muni. Agastya Muni was so powerful that when the demigods were fighting the demons, as they usually do, sometimes they make a truce when they churn the milk ocean, but generally there's some fighting. So the demigods were fighting the demons, and the demons took shelter under the sea, in the ocean. And so the demigods, especially some of them, have a lot of trouble with the ocean, like Agni Dev, a lot of trouble, because he gets extinguished if he enters in the ocean. And he's one of the best fighters. And, you know, Vayu really can't enter that much into the ocean either. Generally, they don't like swimming that much. They like the devotees in Fiji. And the demons are like the Westerners who like to swim. It's like sometimes when we go for a picnic, the devotees, they just like wade into the water up to their ankles. So the demigods are something like that. They're like the devotees in Fiji. So the demigods went to this Agastya Muni and they said to him, you know, we got to attack the demons and they're hiding in the ocean, so you got to do something about it. And so Agastya Muni, he just started drinking the whole ocean. Now normally drinking salt water will kill you. Actually will kill you. Because it takes all the moisture out of the cells. I mean, there's a reason for it. It's called osmosis. It's a technical thing. You don't need to learn that word. But it kills you. So he drank the whole ocean up. And the demigods attacked the demons. And then the demigod said to Agastya Muni, okay, let it out. And Agastya Muni burped. And burping usually means you've digested something. So he had digested the whole ocean, so there was no water in the ocean. I mean, it was a disaster for the whole Earth planet not to have water in the ocean. So that it was required, ultimately, the Ganges would come down to fill the ocean bed. So that's why Prabhupada said that if you can't bathe in the Ganges in India, you can bathe at any sea. Because the Ganges is mixing with the water all over. So it's all, in one sense, the whole ocean is actually partially Ganges water. Interesting. Even scientifically, it's a fact. I mean, if you have a river that enters into the ocean, the different molecules in that river become dispersed gradually through the whole world. So you go swimming in the ocean here. I'm not saying don't go in the Ganges in India, but at least you get some benefit from swimming in the ocean. So, then there's the story of Bali Maharaj. Of course, that's really how the Ganges came into this material realm. So, Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And he was, of course, in the demon family, although he wasn't a demon. We find great devotees born in demon families, and sometimes demons born in devotee families. And I've told this story before, of how even Krishna had a demon as a son. And Krishna had to kill the demon. And that was Bhomasura. Krishna had, by the earth planet, when Krishna took the form of the Varaha, avatar, he had Bhoma as his son. But Bhoma had a lot of bad association and he became a demon. So that shows by bad association, even a devotee can become a demon. You have to be very careful. And so Krishna ultimately, this story is there in the Krishna book, Krishna had to ultimately kill him. It's a bad association. So in the same way, Prahlad Maharaj, by good association, became a pure devotee. And Bali Maharaj, because he was born in the same family, son of Arochan, he was also a pure devotee of the Lord, but he happened to be in the demon family. So therefore, he had to accept a demon guru. That was Shukracharya. I mean, Shukracharya, I wouldn't say he's a demon, but he's the guru of the demons. The reason he became the guru of the demons is because he was envious of Brihaspati, because Shukracharya wanted to become the guru of the demigods. So he had this, like, what we call grudge. You understand? And he said, I was more qualified than him. It's just like sometimes in this kind you have someone who becomes a temple president and other people become envious. And they say, I was more qualified than him. And he's temple president. I'm going to join the anti-party. Then you have that sometimes. You know. So it's very interesting how this envy works. So Shukracharya was just overcome with envy. So throughout his life, he was attempting to have the demons defeat the demigods, like with the Mritu Sanjeevani, which I mentioned the other day, bringing dead people back to life. And continually throughout his life, he was tricked by this Vishnu person. So he has this animosity. This Vishnu, you know, he keeps ruining all my plans. You know, Vishnu shows up at the wrong moment. In each and every game, you know, just when everything's going to be successful, the demons, Vishnu happens to show up each time. So you had this, alright, let's go to the story. So Bali Maharaj was fighting the demigods. And he was fighting very strongly the demigods, and then he was killed. And then Shukracharya brought him back to life, gave him blessings, and because he was so devoted to his guru, he became stronger than the demigods, who had made some mistakes in relationship to Brihaspati, their guru. And so he was able to take over Amaravati, that means the heavenly planets. And so Indra and the others were very worried. Finally, they went to their guru and said, Gurudev, you know, please help us. You know we made an offense by ignoring you sometimes, but please help us. And Brihaspati said, all right, you'll be successful when Bali offends his guru. Because, you know, this whole thing with Guru Nishta, Guru Seva, all these things are very important, even if you have a demon who's a guru. Which is interesting. So what happened is that Diti performed this Payo Vrata, that means living just on drinking milk, and Vamanadeva for 12 days, and Vamanadeva appeared, that is the dwarf Brahman, incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. He's one of the Dasa avatars, 12 main avatars of the Lord. And then he went to the sacrifice. See, it's an important thing to understand that Bali Maharaj was not just performing a sacrifice. It was the 100th sacrifice, 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice. When you perform 100 Ashwamedha, Ashwamedha means horse sacrifice, for those of you who don't know. When you perform 100 horse sacrifices, you become qualified to stay in the heavenly planets. That's why Indra sometimes tries to interfere with the people performing sacrifices. You know, that's that story of Prithu Maharaj. He was performing 100 sacrifices, and Indra came and stole the horse each time. And even to carry out his nefarious, I mean, bad plans, Indra took the form of sannyasis. So Vijitashva, who was the son of Prithu, wouldn't kill him. Normally, if someone steals a horse, you can kill him. Not you, but the king can kill him. But if the person who steals a horse is a sannyasi, you're not supposed to kill him. So sannyasis are allowed to steal, right? No. But anyway, So Indra gets very upset when someone performs austerities or someone does horse sacrifices, and he tries to interfere in many different ways. He may send down beautiful girls. He may cause it to rain. I mean, so many different ways he stops sacrifices when they get too much, when they get too close to home. So in this particular case, Vamanadeva decided to stop the 100th sacrifice. So Shukracharya was guiding the sacrifice, and Bali Maharaj was there offering the ghee or whatever into the fire, you know, swaha. And he was actually even chanting Lord Vishnu's name, like Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Para Prashanti Yat Suryaha. In the Rig Veda, it's interesting, you get to see all these Arya Samaj people, but it's like they've never read the Rig Veda. They just take quotes out of context in the Rig Veda. And they don't understand. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padat Pashanti Yat Suryaha. That means all the demigods are actually worshipping or looking to Vishnu. So if you read, you know, Purusha Shukta prayers or any of these prayers, you understand that Vishnu is the one who's worshipped. But they take, even though they claim to be followers of Vedanta or followers of the Vedas, specifically the Rig Veda, they don't. And a little bit of the Yajurveda. But they still didn't understand Vishnu was supreme. Which is really interesting. So even Shukracharya, he had to chant the names of Vishnu during the sacrifice. And as he was chanting the names of Vishnu and getting ready to throw the final ghee into the fire, the Purnahoti, then who would come but Lord Vamanadeva? And he had an umbrella and everything like that. He was actually, Lord Vamanadeva was given all the things, umbrellas by different demigods. So Lord Vamanadeva appeared, and as is natural, when a renounced person comes or Brahmin comes into your assembly, you have to stand up to receive him. And so Bali Maharaj stood up to receive Lord Vamanadeva, and he said, My dear Brahmana, what can I do for you? What do you want? Anything you want, I'll give you. And Vamanadeva said, I just want 3 paces or 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, this is very foolish. I mean, you could have anything I could give. You know, what do you want? You want a nice wife? You want a whole continent? Yeah, do you want, you know, jewelry, a bank account, credit cards, you know, anything like that? Of course, he didn't say credit cards. But whatever you want, you can have. You know, 3 steps of land. I mean, it's just very foolish to only ask for 3 steps of land. And then, of course, Vamanadeva made the argument that if one isn't satisfied with 3 steps of land, one will not be satisfied with the whole universe. And that is a fact. That is a fact. Because basically, like Prabhupada said, how many rotis can you eat? If you have $10 million or $100 million or $1 billion, you can still eat the same number of rotis, right? Like I'm a sannyasi and I eat the same as everybody. I eat better than everybody else. Anyway, I eat the same as everybody else here, and I'm renounced. No bank account, no nothing. So is your bank account helping you have more material enjoyment? I don't think so. It's giving you more anxiety, right? Of course, being a GBC, we get more anxiety too. It's more anxiety than being a householder. So, because you have so many children. Well, we have, like a householder may have 3 or 4, but a guru may have thousands, and then he needs a database to keep up with them. Like I was showing the devotees the other day, we have a database that we wrote on our iPhone with everyone's picture on it. You know, who's this? So it's even more anxiety. And at any one time, probably 20% of the disciples are acting like rascals. So, and sometimes more. So anyway, in this way, Vamana insisted, yeah, 3 steps of land. And Bali got ready to signify the offering by pouring water. And Shukracharya said, no. And Bali said, basically, if I lie, I'd rather die than lie. I mean, my reputation is finished. I'll be criticized. I'll go to hell. And Shukracharya also said, but if you disobey the order of the spiritual master, you go to hell. So it was a sort of a dilemma there. And he forbade him. And basically, Shukracharya said, it's all right to lie. You know, there's certain circumstances you can lie. You could lie when you're flattering a woman. You could lie when you're doing business. You can lie when you're joking or protecting someone. But Bali didn't accept these arguments. And so he tried to pour the water from his kamandalu to signify the offering of a benediction, or offering of a request. And Shukracharya actually made himself very small, and he was in the spout of this pitcher. You know what a spout is in the pitcher? And the water wouldn't come out. So Vamanadeva took a little bit of kusha grass, and he poked Shukracharya with the kusha grass, and Shukracharya became blind in one eye. His eyes started bleeding, and from then on, I mean, that made him even angrier at Lord Vishnu. Because he recognized that Vamana was Lord Vishnu. Anyway, so Bali displeased the guru, and therefore he lost his material opulence, as predicted by Brahaspati. And then, first we know the story is that Vamana expanded, first step, cover the earth. Second step, cover the whole universe, and then kick the hole with his left foot, as described in the verse which we read today. And because Krishna has the reddish powder on his feet, the Ganges became reddish. And then the third step, he said, you haven't given me anywhere to take the third step. And he arrested Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj famously said that you can take the third step on my head. And that's why Bali Maharaj is considered to be the acharya of the process of Atma Nivedanam, in surrendering everything unto the Supreme Lord. Or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manasa Deha Geha Yokishamor Arpilam Tuyapare Nanda Kishore. My mind, my body, my home, everything is yours, Nanda Kishore. You don't own anything. And that's pretty shocking, isn't it? Nothing belongs to you. Because the opposite is the material consciousness, I am mine. So in this way, Bali Maharaj was benedicted, and we know Lord Vamana became his doorkeeper in Sutala. It's a lower planet, but it's a very heavenly planet. And he had the association of the Supreme Lord, and he became one of the Mahajanas, one of the great personalities. So let's get back to the Ganges. So the Ganges came down, and after 1,000 millennia, it went to Dhruvaloka, and it was carried on the head of the heads of the Sapta Rishis, or the seven sages. Then it became divided into different regions. Like in the heavenly planets, it's called the Mandakini River. In the lower regions, it's called the Bhagirath, and the earth region is called the Ganges. And in the earth, the main places for bathing in the Ganges are the Gangotri. There's also Gomukh, Haridwar, where Haridwar is where, that means the door to Hari, basically. So that's where the Ganges hits the plains. It comes off the mountains and hits the plains. Allahabad, which is where the Triveni is. Triveni means where the three rivers, the Saraswati, Ganges, and Jamuna meet. Saraswati is sort of invisible right now. And then, of course, then there's the final one, which is called Sagar Island. Sagar Island is in the Bay of Bengal. And that's named after King Sagara. So the story of King Sagara is very interesting. We have time to tell all these stories about the Ganges. It's interesting that once upon a time there was a king, Bahuka. Bahuka in Sanskrit means sit down and behave yourself. It's like the when they churned Vena's body, first they got Bahuka out. Anyway, it was King Bahuka. So there was a king. He was a nice guy, and he wasn't like a bad sort of guy. So he had two wives. Several wives, actually. And Bahuka died an untimely death. He died at a young age. But one of the wives was pregnant. And so what happened is one of the wives was pregnant. I mean, she gave birth to a child. But when she gave birth to the child, even before she gave birth to the child, the other wives tried to poison her. So much love was there. Talk about ending. They tried to poison her because they wanted the child to die. They wanted to cause a miscarriage, or what we call nowadays an abortion. Nowadays, this is very common. It's become prominent in the Western countries. They have this pill. You heard of this before? They have this pill. You take the pill and you get an abortion. Don't you have to go to the doctor anymore? It's called the morning after pill. So in those days, it wasn't so common. But they tried to do that to this lady. But fortunately, the son was born with the poison. Therefore, he was called Sagara. Sagara. That means Sagara, with poison. That's his name. Imagine having a name. What's your name? With poison. Born with poison. Anyway, so this Sagara, he had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. And Sumati gave birth to a lump of flesh, and that flesh was divided into 60,000 parts and became children. And those children were pretty evil. They could fly in the sky. They had mystic powers. And so Sagara was doing this horse sacrifice And Indra again stole the horse, as he does when people try to do too many austerities or sacrifices. So what happened, Indra took the disguise of a Rakshasa. So Sagara sent his 60,000 sons to look for this horse. And so they dug a hole in the ocean bed and went to the netherworld, and they found Lord Kapiladeva, who was meditating. And when they found him, they thought, the horse was there, of course, they thought that he had stolen the horse, and they got ready to attack him. And because of the offensive nature of their consciousness, that they were going to attack Lord Kapiladeva, they self-cremated. Sometimes the story is told in an improper way. I mean, in the Hindu version, they say Kapila burnt them to ashes. But that's not true. So we follow the Bhagavatam, not some Hindu film like that. So what happened is that they self-cremated, 60,000 people. And so therefore was a problem, because the Ganges wasn't there, all their ashes were there, you're supposed to put the ashes in the Ganges. So another son of Sagara was named Asamanjasa. He was also pretty bad. He used to kill his friends when he went to play with them. He'd go to play rugby or cricket with them and then kill them all. So his father, Sagara, banished him from the kingdom. But he had a nice son. Actually, he was a good guy, ultimately, because he was acting in a bad way, this Asamanjana. He was acting in a bad way so he would have an excuse to take sannyas. His father wouldn't get him married. Anyway, that's a different story. So he had a son. Ultimately, I guess he did get married. He had a son, Amsuman. And Amsuman went to search for the horse. He found the horse in Kapiladeva's ashram and offered obeisances to Kapiladeva because he was a devotee. And but he wanted to save his uncles, you know, the 60,000 people, the sons of Sagara who had been killed when they self-immolated. So Garuda advised him, the bird carrier of the Lord, advised him to bring the Ganges there. Mm. So Amsuman performed austerities, but he wasn't successful. He had a son named Dilip, who also performed austerities. He wasn't successful. And finally, there was a son of Dilip called Bhagirath. That's why the Ganges is called Bhagirathi. And he performed austerities for 1,000 celestial years. The Ganges appeared, and she said, I can't come down. For several reasons. Oh, two reasons, basically. One is, I'll be so forceful, I'll pierce the earth planet and go down to the nether regions of the universe. The second reason is that all these rascals will bathe in me. And they'll dump off all their karma. Because when a rascal bathes in the water, he dumps off all the karma. So then Bhagirath answered those objections as follows. He said, first of all, Lord Shiva will catch you. That's the first point. And the second point is that in addition to the rascals bathing in the water, the saints will bathe in the water and they'll purify you. So Ganges was assured at that particular point. Bhagirath performed austerities to please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was pleased and he agreed to catch the Ganges to break her momentum, as they say. But Ganges was so proud that Shiva decided to teach Ganges a lesson. He kept her in his matted locks and wouldn't let her out. So finally, Bhagirath prayed to Lord Shiva, and seven streams emanated from Lord Shiva's locks, and Bhagirath drove his chariot before these different streams. And as he was driving his chariot, going towards the place where Sagara's sons, you know, the 60,000 sons had been immolated or cremated, he guided the Ganges. But as he was guiding the Ganges to this place, there was one sage named Janu who was pretty upset with the whole thing because his ashram was becoming flooded. It's like we had the floods here a few months ago. So in the same way, his ashram, all the all the cabins and everything was floating away. And so he got so angry, he drank the Ganges. And he wouldn't let the Ganges go further. And so Bhagirath prayed to him, and demigods also prayed to him, and he let the Ganges out of his ear, basically. And therefore, the Ganges is called the Janavi, which means the daughter of Janu. And so finally, the Ganges reached where the sons of Sagara's ashes were, and the sons of Sagara went to heaven. Pretty nice, isn't it? So this is proof that if we take Ganges water, bathe in Ganges water, and even the scientists have analyzed the Ganges water. They're surprised when they analyze the Ganges water, because even though all these cities are there along the banks of the Ganges, and the cities in India, they don't treat the sewerage generally. They're dumping all the sewerage and chemicals, and they discover there's no bad bacteria in the Ganges. It's amazing, because the Ganges is antiseptic. Even though if you do that to any other river, I mean, just like you have your rivers here, and I'm sure that you can get so many diseases if you bathe in the rivers, even if the pigs are upstream. You have wild pigs here. So you get this, what's it called? Leptospirosis, right? Is that the name of the disease? Leptospirosis, if you have a cut or something while you're bathing in the river. Just a little, you know, one little pig, not little, but, you know, a pig. Upstream, or there's some village upstream or something like that, you can get sick. But the Ganges, it's completely pure like that. Any of the water you can take. And we regularly swim in the Ganges when we go to Sridharmayapur. And Sridharmayapur is all the way downstream from the rest of India. You know, the Ganges flows through the northern portion of India. And we've never heard of a devotee getting sick. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said if you bathe in the Ganges, if you have some sickness, then the sickness will go away. So today we were talking about the Ganges, the verse and the purport. And so we should worship Mother Ganges. We should bathe in the Ganges, remember the Ganges, and use Ganges clay if possible. And in any of these ways, we can become free from sins and become more devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, we mentioned yesterday, just one final thing. I mentioned in class yesterday that even more purifying than bathing in the Ganges, even repeated bathings in the Ganges, is to have association with a pure devotee and hear from a pure devotee. Not just associate in the same way of being in the same room, but hear. The hearing process is the most important. More important than seeing or touching the feet or anything, because the sound vibration, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata Jajashana Dashu Apavarga Vartmani, Shradharati Arvakti Anukra Mishati, when the pure devotee enters from the ear to the heart directly, and it can actually take you back to home, back to Godhead, very, very quickly. So it's more purifying than bathing in the Ganges water. That's what yesterday's class was about, that we should go to a holy place and hear from the saints. Otherwise, our visit to the holy place is like the visit of a cow or an ass. Sa eva gokara. Okay, on that note, we have to end because it's time to greet the deities. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.